Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
You know what's fun? What's fun is working here at Gao Media. I love the people here. AJ Hoffman in here after a show with Fred Fowler, Jung, Michael Carroll. Great group of people, all the interns. Everybody's got a good mood around here. Awesome.
We're super happy and lovable.
We are super happy and lovable. We like what we do, and it's 4th of July weekend. Why wouldn't we? So we welcome you into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, and that was the voice of God, otherwise known as Michael Carroll. So much to talk about here today on the heels of what is pretty amazing. If you're thinking about Houston, Texas right now, 70,000 people over at Energy Stadium for Mexico, Honduras, a friendly match. I repeat, a friendly, and I know a lot of you hardcore sports fans don't like the word friendly. If you'd like me to come up with a different word, it could be exhibition, I guess. But a friendly game between Mexico and Honduras draws 70,000 people. What a draw Mexico is. And what a night it was at Energy Stadium, because what you saw basically was a street fight. You didn't see a whole lot of soccer. And at the end of the day, it's costly for Mexico. It comes at a big price. Chicharito Hernandez separates his shoulder. Broke his collarbone. Apparently, my understanding is he had surgery today here in Houston. So I want your thoughts. If you were out at this game, 713-780-3776, Mexico, Honduras, it was a preparation game before the Gold Cup, which the United States is in tonight. We will take a look at the U.S. roster as well heading into that one. Now, we've got a weekend of unbelievable soccer here. Not only will it be Independence Day this weekend, but the Copa America final is Saturday between Argentina and the host nation, Chile. This lines up to be something special. Sunday, the U.S. women's national team in Japan for the World Cup title. So right now, you U.S. women's soccer fans, you Houston Dash fans, you fans of the women's game, you have a platform tonight, and I'm reaching out to you. Because I do it often, and I don't get a lot of response. So, if you want to talk U.S. women tonight in Japan, you want to talk Houston Dash, this is your chance. 713-780-3776. What else have I gifted you tonight? I've gifted you Carly Lloyd, because we'll have an interview with Carly Lloyd tonight on this show, ahead of the U.S. women taking on Japan. Think about that. We've got her a couple days out from the big game, and she's really clearly becoming the star of the entire tournament in Canada. Ian Joy of BN Sport will be on the show. He's a former professional soccer player, also the analyst for New York City FC. We'll have him on. So who was at Energy Stadium last night for the Mexico-Honduras game? 713-780-3776. Give me your impressions of this game. And were you one of the hardcore at the Dynamo Colorado Open Cup game that didn't start until 10:15 on Tuesday night? And didn't finish till after midnight. The Dynamo were 1-0 winners in that game. They will take on the Chicago Fire this Friday in Major League Soccer play. The Fire have lost 3 in a row in MLS. Our thanks, as always, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit. Of course, Danish Inspirations, my good friend Jan Christensen. Penafiel, mineral water. And Squirt. Liberty Kitchen, Liberty Kitchen Oysterette, Bar Munich, and Gorgeous Gale. Bar Munich and the Gorgeous Gale will be the place that you will catch and you will want to catch. Two great spots, Bar Munich in Midtown, Gorgeous Gale over in West University. Two great spots to watch a Copa America and U.S. Women's National Team this weekend. 713-780-3776 is the number. It's Facebook Soccer Matters. Get your thoughts in over there, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. So tonight I have tickets. I will give tickets out to the Dynamo Fire. I will give tickets out to the Gold Cup doubleheader tonight. I will also give out tickets to July 12th, the Houston Dash Chicago Red Stars. Why is this important? Because three of the players on the Houston Dash have been starting for the U.S. Women's National Team, starring and playing beautifully. That would be one Carly Lloyd, who's on the show tonight. That would be Megan Klingenberg, who's been feisty and aggressive and wonderful, locking down an outside back position for the U.S. And then on to Morgan Bryan, who in some ways has provided the freedom now for Carly Lloyd to do more attacking. So will you be watching the U.S. women take on Japan this Sunday? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, I'm also going to talk a little bit about Mexico here. Memo Ochoa started in goal. Layún Reyes, Rodriguez Aguilar, the back four. Went back to a 4-4-2 Miguel Herrera. Guardado, Vasquez, Hector Herrera, Esquivel, a 33-year-old, and then Carlos Vela and Chicharito Hernandez up front. And again, it was a slugfest out there, the two teams kicking each other. But what do you think is going to happen to Mexico in the Gold Cup? We're going to talk U.S. tonight as well, but what do you think happens to Mexico? Is Miguel Herrera on the chopping block? Absolutely, Miguel Herrera and his job are in a little bit of jeopardy now. So here's the guy everybody loved, and I still love him. But Miguel Herrera must win the World Cup now. And if you think differently, it's 713-780-3776. He must win the World Cup. I mean the Gold Cup. Herrera has done some erratic things lately, and he's always been a very emotional guy. We've heard stories of people having it. You've seen stories. You've seen him at games where people have had to step in between him. He was wonderful at the World Cup because he was wonderful for the media. Everybody loved him. But now Herrera has gone and tweeted out to everybody in Mexico that they should vote politically in one way. His daughter has gotten involved in Twitter wars with people. He's now got Chicharito Hernandez out of the Gold Cup with the broken collarbone. And he's been erratic. And I'm wondering, is his ego taking over? Everybody knows he's emotional. You love the emotional side of it. You don't love it as much when you're not winning. And then you're almost, in some ways, maybe the ego has gotten a little bit too big. And now Herrera is bigger than the Mexican national team. You tell me if I'm wrong. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll also take calls on the U.S. Women's National Team and Japan. And is it back to the 4-4-2? Is it just as simple as bringing Gio Dos Santos in with Vela up front? 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's start things off tonight with Brian. Brian, what's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to chat a little bit about the Women's World Cup. Actually, I've been able to watch pretty much every game, and I must say that I'm pretty happy with the quality of play overall.
Yeah, what jumps out to you?
Well, first and foremost, I guess, is the way that FIFA decided to do the seeding. I mean, if you look at Japan's path to the final versus the U.S., the differences are stark. I mean, the first four teams that Japan played were debutants. And then if you look at a team like Germany, who had to play number three France and then number two USA in back-to-back matches, I just don't understand that. They can say they're trying to sell tickets and make money all they want, but competitive balance, I mean, come on, man. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, right now I don't give a damn, and I'll tell you why, Brian. The reason why I don't give a damn is because it's the U.S. and Japan in the final now. And I understand where you're coming from, and I do think you pretty much answered the question. I think they've tried to set these games up in a way where they can draw fans a little bit better, certain markets, that whole thing. But you know what? If that was in fact true, they would have had Ecuador play in Toronto because there's 50,000 Ecuadorians in Toronto and there's only 200 in Vancouver. So I don't know. Maybe none of this really makes a lot of sense to us. You know, you saw a number of teams upset at some of the seeding. You saw France with some real legit points of having to play Germany. But you know what? I think you got to stop complaining. Winning a World Cup is difficult. You're going to have to go through people anyway. And you know what? We're down to one game. And listen, Japan, I think, is going to get their comeuppance this Sunday. I don't see anything stopping the U.S., and I'll use the word again. And some people got a little fired up that I used the word unstoppable, but I think the U.S. is unstoppable right now. The only thing that stops the United States against Japan on Sunday, and again, this is with all due respect for the game of soccer and the fact that it's a one-off game. Okay, so let me just say that up front. But the only thing that stops the United States, Brian, is the United States women themselves. They've played their two best games at the right time. They're peaking at the right time. This is what tournaments are about. The change came about after, I think, some real pressure from fans and the media against Colombia. Everybody is positioning it in different ways, but Jill Ellis was forced to make some changes to that team. I don't think any question because of yellow cards, and some of these have panned out beautifully, especially in the vein of Morgan Bryan, who now is allowed Carly Lloyd to do more attacking, and Lloyd has had the two wonderful games carrying the team from an attacking standpoint. We know the U.S., it's all been about defending. It's some ridiculous amount of minutes now they haven't been scored upon. So,
yeah, they can set a record if they basically get through about, I think, 30 minutes of the first half against Japan without conceding. And I agree with you, and I actually think that the U.S. benefited somewhat from the way that FIFA kind of stacked the draw. Because to me, Germany looked exhausted when they were playing against the U.S. on Tuesday.
I think they were fatigued. I think the French and the U.S. should say thank you to the French. Took a lot out of the Germans. Of course, they had to play extra time. So, these are all the sort of tangibles that occur in tournaments. And teams don't play their best all the way through. They have off games. You got to hope you find ways to win in your off games, or it happens in a group stage and it's not a single game elimination. Look, the Netherlands won the World Cup in 74, and still many claim that despite winning a lot of categories against Germany, except winning the game, in that World Cup final, they say that was the Dutch's off game. So, you know, there's
I'd take lots, that off game any day.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. Brian, thank you very much. Continue watching. The U.S. Women's World Cup has been excellent up in Canada, and I don't think any question, the expanded field has occurred now, but we've seen cultures around the world picking up the game now and taking it very seriously. So I would say between now and 1999, the degree of difficulty in winning the World Cup now has gone up quite a bit, and it should be. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Mark. Mark wants to talk Mexico and Miguel Herrera. Mark, how are you?
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm very good. You?
My opinion about, Miguel Herrera being sacked after the Gold Cup if he doesn't win it, I mean, the pressure should be high because he's the Mexican national team, head coach. They're supposed to be the cream of the crop and CONCACAF, And, Chicharito went down, but, I mean, look at the other strikers they have, Jimenez, Vela, Peralta, Gio. You can even bring an older guy, a veteran guy, like maybe a De Nigris or somebody, to be there in case of a situation or whatever.
So we shouldn't cry a lot of tears for Miguel Herrera because he's got more riches at the striker position than the United States does.
Oh, sorry, say it again?
I said we shouldn't cry a whole lot of alligator tears for Miguel Herrera because he's got more riches in the striker position than certainly the United States does.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, all these players, play for the best leagues in the world, So I mean, he has a squad. I mean, one player doesn't make a team. If that was the case, Portugal would be doing a lot better than what they do, with Ronaldo. But yeah, they should fear nobody going to the Gold Cup. I mean, you know, the only team that's at par, if even that, is the United States. And, you know, the United States are not coming in strong either. I mean, you know, they had a couple of wins against, you know, the Netherlands and Germany. But, you know, there's still questions with the U.S. squad as well. So, you know.
Yeah, but they're coming in on a confident high. Mexico hasn't been winning games. They've been struggling. They didn't get past Honduras. When you go and you beat the Netherlands and Germany, friendly or no friendly, and you do it in Europe, it doesn't matter what Germany and the Netherlands think and everybody in the public thinks. You gain confidence from that. You gain experience from that. And you come out of that growing a couple of inches going into the Gold Cup. So, you know, we're going to see what happens. And the Gold Cup is an interesting tournament. There's a lot of shifts and turns in it, without a doubt. But I think without question, the United States coming into this tournament is in a more confident place than Mexico is right now. And they've just lost Chicharito Hernandez. And that's a big deal to fans.
No, I understand it. I mean, but, you know, before, you know, Mexico and U.S. get to play each other, I mean, they have the group stages, and, you know, Mexico will be able to gain their confidence playing in that group. So,
yeah, the group stages sometimes in the Gold Cup, you know, you get some soft games, I guess, is what we're trying to say. And by the way, how about the U.S.? How about the U.S. roster? A number of players that have ties to Mexico. William Yarbrough, who plays for León, played in that friendly in San Antonio for the U.S. against Mexico. Ventura Alvarado, who plays for Club America. You've got also, who are we missing here? Oh, there's one other. Who else? Oh, you know who just got added was Greg Garza, who's now at Atlas in Guadalajara. So it's kind of interesting. Tim Ream from Bolton in England is now in the U.S. squad. Omar Gonzalez is in it. Brad Davis has been dropped. But it's an interesting squad. But again, we all talk about Jozy Altidore up front.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, where for us, you know, the striker position is where we have a little bit of, you know, difficulty at. But I mean, but you know, Johansson, you know, and Dempsey, they look good, you know, and
Chris Wondolowski is the fourth forward.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting. I think the two teams are coming into this tournament in a different place, but I agree with you. There's still a number of players that have to prove themselves out to Jurgen Klinsmann. And look at the priority. Both of these teams have put on winning the Gold Cup. The U.S. doesn't play in the Copa America. I don't like that. I wish they did. Mexico does. They split their squad. They don't do well. They get criticism for it, but they also have a bunch of players who gather a lot of experience. So, I don't know. I wish we'd start measuring ourselves with the Brazils, the Argentinas, and the Chiles of the world at some point and make it happen. I don't know why the Confederations Cup is of such value to everybody, except for the fact that you're going to make a boatload of money. And I guess that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have no idea why the United States isn't playing a Copa America like Mexico does. But, you know, it would grow the brand, you know, and I think it would make our players stronger playing against these world class players, especially teams like Argentina and Brazil. Yep. You know,
no doubt about it. Well, listen, thank you very much for the phone call, Mark. We're up on a hard break. We're going to take this right now. I'm going to remind you the Gold Cup is right around the corner, July 11th. Don't miss your chance to see Jamaica take on Canada, Costa Rica, El Salvador. It takes place every 2 years of Gold Cup. Tickets are $33, www.bbvacompassstadium.com. That's a double header. Jason's going to start it off when we come back. And I also want to remind you, great place to watch the Copa America Women's National Team game this weekend, the World Cup final. Bar Munich in Midtown and the Gorgeous Gale over in West University. As we go to break right now, sixth caller, you get a pair of tickets to the Gold Cup doubleheader, July 11th, Jamaica, Canada, and Costa Rica, El Salvador.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
It is a big night on the show here tonight. We come back with little Judas Priest. 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN 975. Soccer fans, a moment here for Bud Light, the official beer of both the Houston Dynamo, the Mexican national team, and Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you that, look, there's wonderful opportunity for you to see international soccer here in Houston. 70,000 people saw it last night at Energy Stadium. I want to hear from you if you were at that game and what the night was like. But Bud Light reminds you that international soccer is coming through Houston. We have the Gold Cup coming on July 11th, and they want you to get down to the stadiums and get out and be a part of the fan bases that are catching all this international soccer, the Dynamo and the Dash. Bud Light, the official beer of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And they remind you to get out and see the Copa de Oro. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Before I get back to the phone lines here, and again, we're talking tonight, we're talking Copa America, we're talking Mexico and Miguel Herrera. We are talking World Cup Final, U.S. and Japan. We're talking Houston Dynamo. We're talking Houston Dash, if you want. And I've reached out. I've extended the olive branch to women's soccer fans. This is your chance to call in tonight. It's 713-780-3776. Landon Donovan tweeted out, quote, "Love the enthusiasm and veteran presence of Abby Wambach, despite not playing much. That kind of leadership is priceless during a World Cup." What do you think Landon was doing there? Landon said it was innocent, went on the Dan Patrick show, and then tweeted out saying, "People can't appreciate an honest comment anymore. It's sad. I'll continue with positivity. Hashtag love wins." So was this tweet from Landon Donovan, "Love the enthusiasm and veteran presence of Abby Wambach, despite not playing much. That kind of leadership priceless during a World Cup." Was that a dig at Jurgen Klinsmann? What do you think? 713-780-3776? Or was Landon just making a comment? Could have been that as well. 713-780-3776. To the phone lines we go. And Jason. Jason, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, sir. You?
I am great. Thanks. Hey, I just want to talk a couple of things. The game last night, I watched it. It was. I don't understand why the Mexican fans think their team is so good. They are not good. Nobody's scared of them anymore. And the way they acted, the complaining, the crying, the flopping, you know, I would be embarrassed if that was the United States team playing like that and acting like that. Honestly, no one is scared of them anymore. They're almost like the Los Angeles Lakers. They think they're still good, but they're not. And it's he named off a bunch of players, that last caller, and they don't have it anymore. They don't have the fight they used to, and if I was on the United States team, I wouldn't be scared of them one bit. And going back to the United States, I'm really glad that Michael Bradley was named the captain. I think it's a good thing for us. I think it's going to pull some stuff out of Clint Dempsey and going to make him a stronger player. I'm really happy that they did it, and that doesn't mean they can't give it back to him. He can always get it back with his play, and I think he might do it. That's all I have. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. Well, Jason put it out there. He said, "Mexico fans, your team is overrated. There's no doubt you're a draw. But no fear for Mexico anymore," according to Jason. 713-780-3776. I don't think the U.S. has feared Mexico for a long time now that we've caught up to them. And the U.S. and Mexico have a tremendous and wonderful rivalry. Mexico's not in the best of places right now after some great moments in the World Cup. 713-780-3776. For that matter, nobody fears Brazil anymore. That's for sure. Who's scared of Brazil anymore? I mean, Brazil looked rather pedestrian in the Copa America. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? 713-780-3776 is the number. How about Daniel? Daniel, what's on your mind, Daniel?
Well, Glenn, how you doing today?
I'm very good, Daniel. How are you?
Doing well. I would like to congratulate both of the U.S. team's coaches on what they've been doing with their teams. They have made changes, and they have worked out. And the stats can show that. And I think you can agree with that, that when things have not gone as well as they should have gone, they've changed it up a little bit, especially the women's national team. But what they're doing in this World Cup, they are coming on to the end, which is where you want them to start coming on and playing.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't know if it's as much as by design as everybody believes it is, and I'll tell you why. Up until the Colombia game, the U.S. did not play good soccer. And in the Colombia game, something very special happened in this country. And again, I think it's a watershed moment. The U.S. played poorly. They were outplayed soccer-wise until the sending off of the Colombian goalkeeper. And at that point, they ended up winning the game with an extra player. But what happened after the game was Jill Ellis, the U.S. women's national team coach, tried to parlay this into a good performance. And the media and ex-players and fans didn't buy it and didn't take it and came back with, hey, look, this wasn't great soccer. We're not that impressed right now. And that winning isn't the only thing now. Now, what we've seen since then, believe it or not, are two exceptional games from the U.S., the team we know, the team that's aggressive and has a level of urgency. Some of the changes that had to be made against China were forced upon Jill Ellis because there were yellow cards to Megan Rapinoe and Lauren Holiday. So, you know, you can position it any way you want. Certainly Jill Ellis has a big piece in getting them back on track. I don't think there's any question. But I also think the American public and the pressure, healthy pressure that came down from the media and American public and the fan base has a big piece in it. And it's something we should be celebrating because it's time that women's soccer isn't just about, you know, the love affair with little girls anymore. And that's a big part of it. And that should never go away. The mentoring and the role modeling. I would question someone who's going to want to role model Hope Solo, but that's just me because I think you can role model her for her performance as a soccer player. I'm not sure about the off-field stuff. But the point is here, this is maturing. This is growing. And this is growing in a very positive way, the women's game. And the quality of play has gotten better. The quality of play in the college game is better. So there's a lot of fascinating things, really, that are going on here. But they are timing it right, as you said. They will not be stopped on Sunday. They will win the World Cup. I have no doubt about that. And I think that is the only way they don't is self-inflicted. And I've said that before on this show. And I do respect the fact that it's one game and anything can happen. But unless it's self-inflicted, the U.S. is going to beat Japan, and I think they're going to beat them comfortably.
Well, I agree with you on that. They will beat them comfortably.
Any other thoughts from you, Daniel?
Well, about the Jürgen Klinsmann, how about all the younger players coming up and playing so well against Netherlands, against Germany, and pulling games off that a lot of people think that we had no chance at?
Well, I don't think there's any question. Those are tremendous results. Klinsmann has led us to results that no other manager has before in certain situations like that. We beat Italy over there. Again, a lot of these are friendlies. So you know what? As much as those are great, confident-building wins, and we feel proud about those, and players are gaining experience, you know, they've made it real clear. The ultimate goal is you got to win the Gold Cup. So that's what he's got to do now with players like Venturo Alvarado and John Brooks and Tim Chandler and Mix Diskerud and Aaron Johansson and Brad Guzan in goal now, you know? So, you know, look, it's great up until the Gold Cup starts, and then you're measured by if you're going to win the Gold Cup or not because you elected not to play in the Copa America. So healthy pressure has to be on the U.S. men as well with Jürgen Klinsmann, and he wants that. I don't think there's any question. Any coach that doesn't want healthy pressure, you don't understand it because it lifts players. It lifts organizations. We need more healthy pressure on the Houston Dynamo here in Houston. I don't think there's any question because it lifts an organization. It lifts players. It lifts coaches. It's an element you want. You desire that if you're running a pro team or you're the head coach. You want that.
I agree with you on everything. And as long as soccer keeps growing in America, let's keep it going.
You got it right. Thank you very much, Daniel. I appreciate it. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Pablo. Pablo, what's on your mind tonight, Pablo? ¿Qué paso?
What's going on?
How are you, Pablo?
Good. Talking about yesterday's game. Not the fact that I don't think Mexico is not a threat anymore. I just think everybody's level of playing has gone up a lot. International. Back in the day, U.S. in this Gold Cup, it was U.S. and Mexico to beat. Now everybody's level of game has gone up drastically. Got a lot of people from Honduras playing in Europe in second division teams all around.
No question. Yeah, you're making a very great, very astute comment that the quality of competition has been raised. It's the same thing with women's international soccer as well, if we're talking women's World Cup. And I don't think there's any question. When players start playing in Europe, gather different experiences, different cultures, they get hardened. There's no doubt about it. And I think you're 100% correct. Costa Rica in their tournament, although Costa Rica has struggled under their new manager, Paulo Wanchope, but... yeah, I don't think there's any question. Honduras, Costa Rica, Guatemala, these are not easy games in this region of the world, whether people want to believe that or not.
Yeah, that's what it's kind of mean. It's, Mexico was Carlos Vela hit the pole twice yesterday. Those two goals could have changed the outcome drastically. Honduras played a lot more physical, but Mexico's not used to, so I don't consider them flopping. I just think Honduras is a more difficult team. The more physical team towards the end, Mexico started being more physical, and then you saw the outcome of it. They were more at goal. They had more opportunities upon goal.
Yeah, I'm not sure Mexico's not a stranger to the physical game. They are. I mean, I think they get a physical game and on many occasions because they're a team that has a tremendous passing rhythm and control games through that tempo and passing rhythm and possession. And one of the ways people want to break that is, you know, by getting closing people down, getting good pressure on the ball, not allowing them to get their heads up, kicking them once in a while. That's the way it goes. Mexican players are playing in Europe. They're used to the physical treatment. They're not afraid of it anymore. They're involved with it. I don't think that's the question, but I do think your point you make is a very good one about the rest of CONCACAF and players going to other places in the world and coming back with worldliness that then leads to more competitive teams against Mexico and the U.S. No doubt about it. Thank you, Pablo.
I saw the forwards. You saw Chicharito go down. You know, him not doing a lot, but still just his presence makes a lot out there. You know, that's what a lot of people don't understand. Just knowing that he's out there, he's still a threat. You know, that you still have to muscle, you still have to watch out for him. And those one time, you get to him at one time, no matter where.
Pablo, thank you for the phone call. Great point. Let's keep it moving here. Let's go to Samson. Samson, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Glenn. Glad to call in again.
Thank you very much, Samson.
Love the show.
I appreciate that.
I just want to switch gears again to last night's game. I mean, I didn't go to it, but I tell you one thing. I've been to many soccer games at Reliant. I recently had my high school graduation held there, and I tell you one thing about the surface. It is solid concrete, and for these soccer games going on in the Texans off season, there is imported grass put in, as you could probably tell, and the conditions were obviously really atrocious from what I saw. I don't know to the extent of San Antonio of the U.S. Mexico game, but it's still very bad.
San Antonio struggled last year. It struggled at the AC Milan game. It struggled in Minnesota. It struggles all the time. Nobody has figured it out yet. Every time you got to put a surface in very quickly, it is very difficult to put a grass surface in. We see all the seams. It's tough. It's not working anywhere. But the show goes on, and there's a lot of money to be made, and 70,000 people were there, and the demand is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I was doing a game up in Minnesota at the University of Minnesota last summer. It was Manchester City and Olympiacos, and the night before they were saying Manchester City wasn't going to play because of the field conditions. It's always a problem. I just don't think you can put a grass field in a couple days before over an artificial surface or over concrete or whatever and expect it to take and be very good. I think it's just something everybody's learning to live with because there's a tremendous amount of money to be made.
Yeah, you put right on the money there with the fact that it brings in so much money, so much attention, so much care from the community of that's rich with Hondurans and Mexican fans, you know. And, you know, to see highlights like Chicharito receiving that great ball and having a one-on-one with the goalie and seeing the ball bounce instead of rolling normally and that messing up his shot. You know, I'm not even a Mexican fan, and I saw it. I'm like, that's a guaranteed goal. There's no reason why, he would have to adjust to that ball, unnecessarily bouncing like that. That's what I saw.
The only thing someone's going to say is both teams are playing on that same surface. But look, we've watched the Women's World Cup up in Canada. We've seen situations altered by the artificial surface. We've seen people rolling their ankles. They're challenging themselves with that surface up there as well. But that's the only problem with the friendly, is if you're putting in grass fields, it is a challenge. But there is no doubt there are people that want to go to these games, and the appetite for this content is huge. Samson, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
All right, Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7. Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personally injury cases, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car, wrongful death. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. That's DaspitLaw.com. My thanks to John Daspit of the Daspit Law Firm. You can also call 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Bud Light, soccer fans, Bud Light, they're behind us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to Bud Light, as always, for being huge supporters of me personally on the radio and supporting all the great soccer talk that has hit the airwaves here so that you can call in and have a platform here. We can talk the beautiful game. Bud Light reminds you to get down to beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium, catch a Dynamo International Soccer and the Houston Dash. With that, right now, third caller gets a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars, Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, and the one and only Morgan Bryan will all be back for that July 12th Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars. Sixth caller right now.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, I like this song. Beck Dreams. Talented man. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We come up with Beck, and we remind you. So much going on here soccer-wise. It's incredible this weekend. You got the Copa America on Saturday on BN. Then on Sunday, you got the U.S. Women's National Team on Fox. It all rolls on. Special hello out to my buddy Freddie Reyes. And Freddie, I know you're doing okay. Keep up the good fight. 713-780-3776 is the phone number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776. Is a number to call in. So we're talking Mexican national team, U.S. national team, Gold Cup. We're talking Mexico and Honduras last night. We're talking the U.S. women against Japan. Carly Lloyd will be on the show later. We'll do an interview with her. We'll ask her about Japan going into the World Cup final on Sunday. And we're going to continue to take phone calls here. Now, I mentioned the Landon Donovan tweet. He said, quote, love the enthusiasm and veteran presence of Abby Wambach, despite not playing much. That kind of leadership is priceless during a World Cup. So Landon tweeted it out. And people have taken this in many, many different ways, some negative. Some said this was a dig at Jurgen Klinsmann and the fact that Landon didn't go to the World Cup. Landon came back and tweeted out and said, quote, or not quote, but here's what he tweeted. He tweeted, people can't appreciate an honest comment anymore. It's sad. I'll continue with positivity. hashtag love wins. Was this really that bad from Landon Donovan? 713-780-3776. Jason, what's up, Jason? You're on the air, Jason.
Yeah, Glenn, first-time caller. Love listening to the show.
Thank you for calling in, Jason. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that tweet that Landon Donovan sent out, I think this day and age, a lot of people have trouble with honesty and truth. And I think it was the truth. It was an honest comment, and it was also a shot at Jurgen Klinsmann, because I really would have loved for Landon Donovan to be running on that ball instead of Chris Wondolowski in the World Cup. And I think all of America would have liked to see him in that position. Not a guarantee that he'll score, but I think our results would have been a lot better for United States.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have wanted Landon Donovan at the World Cup for his experience, the fact that he's been there, he's done that. And he was really gearing it towards the experience of Abby Wambach being there. Now, I think Landon has to know that if he tweets that out, and here, I'll read the tweet again. Love the enthusiasm and veteran presence of Abby Wambach, despite not playing much. That kind of leadership is priceless during a World Cup. How does he not think, though, that people aren't going to relate that to his situation with Jurgen Klinsmann and U.S. national team? Yeah, I mean, he has to know that's going to happen. He has to know that. And, you know, he says that this was innocent, and that, here's his other Twitter, was, people can't appreciate an honest comment anymore. It's sad. I'll continue with positivity. I think he may have meant it very innocently and focusing on the Women's World Cup, yet he has to know in social media that there's no doubt people are going to grab that and go in a different direction with it.
Well, they were subconsciously, he tweeted that, and he may have thought that this was just an honest, you know, innocent comment. I think there was part of that aimed at Jurgen Klinsmann. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, everybody wants to, you know, the blogosphere, when something like this happens, they want to make the story bigger than it is. So that may not have been his total focus towards Jurgen Klinsmann, but it was part of it. I mean, because he knew that was his last ride in the World Cup, and I wish he would have been there.
Jason, me too. And I think we agree on that. And, you know, I wish he would have been there too, but it's all history now. I think both of these great soccer men, Jurgen Klinsmann and Landon Donovan, have some culpability in it. This is what I said at the time it happened. I don't think there's any question. Jason, thank you very much for the phone call, and I'm glad you're a first-time caller tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, that's Jason Wayne in there. Let's go to Zach. Zach, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, man? First time I've gotten on ESPN. Appreciate you taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah, my comments, I'll keep it pretty short. I'm not the biggest fan of soccer, but that's not really why I called in. I'm big when it comes to the World Cup, but I'm tired. I used to be huge on Twitter, you know, on the Twitter scene. My issue more so is, when did we just become a society that got so soft and so sensitive when it came to everything? Every time somebody is honest, we take it, spin it the other way, like you were saying. And I'm tired of it. People are way too sensitive these days. And the only thing I wanted to say, which this is obviously drastic, but start boycotting Twitter. That'll make a big difference. Anyways, I'll hang up and listen.
I agree with Zach. I think we are all too sensitive. I mean, gosh, the amount of time some people spend on social media. Now, don't get me wrong. We use it to promote this show and, of course, get the brand out. I think that's, you have to if you're in radio and TV now. I don't think there's any question, but, yeah, we are too sensitive. And that's why I take it back to the whole thing with the U.S. Women's National Team. That was so healthy when you had people disagreeing with the way the U.S. was playing. That just shows you the education level of soccer in the United States is coming up. And this whole mantra that says winning is all it is, and that's what's going to put people in the seats in Major League Soccer and the NWSL in this country, that's not true. That's one part of the criteria. But entertainment, playing style, these are all things that people have to take serious if they want to attract fans now. Because people are going to games for a variety of reasons. They're not just going to win. You know, some people walk into these stadiums, they don't even know who won the game. And that's why in this town, there are a tremendous amount of educated, hardcore soccer fans in Houston that have experiences from their own country, their cultures. They're growing up in families in South America, Central America, Mexico. It doesn't matter where. They've got legitimate experiences that they look back upon that are wonderful. Going to stadiums with their father, their grandfather. And we need that fan to start going to BBVA Compass Stadium. And somehow you got to reach out to him and get him and hook him. Sean, what do you got to say, Sean? How are you?
Hey, Mr. Davis. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, Sean. How are you?
I'm great. And look, I'm 37 years old. I grew up in a soccer family. I've coached youth soccer. And on what Landon Donovan said about leadership, I totally agree. Even if the veterans don't play a lot, leadership makes a very key part of a team. And in my opinion, Landon Donovan has helped U.S. grow in soccer. And in my personal opinion, he should have been with the world with the team when they went to the World Cup. And I just wanted to voice my opinion on that because leadership is very important when it comes to a team as a whole.
Sean,
Thank you.
The hell is going on in the background there? What are you guys, what are you doing back there? I hear a lot of knocking. Are you building a house or something? Okay, we lost Sean. Did you guys hear all that?
He was building something.
I don't know. He might have been taking, you know, one of those mallets you take to a tough piece of meat to soften it up in the kitchen?
He may have been cooking.
I think he may have been. We're going to just talk a little Gio DeSantis when we come back because is that DJ who's up next, I think? DJ's up next. A lot of Landon Donovan talk. We appreciate all the people. You know, be a first-time caller. Don't be afraid to wade into the waters here. I'm still waiting for some female soccer fans. I got a little cult going to break here, and I've also got a pair of Gold Cup tickets right now. Jamaica, Canada, Costa Rica, El Salvador. It is Saturday, July 11th. A pair of Gold Cup tickets right now to the fifth caller, 713-780-3776. We'll take a Pettafiel break.
ESPN 97.5.
Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.